Bad leaders are everyone's worst nightmare. Giving you the ultimate playbook to lead, inspire, and grow your team. Better Tech Leadership powered by BrainHub.
I know that you have a lot of experience in many products in many companies with legacy and modernization. And I really like to start the conversation about legacy by starting with a question. What do you understand as a legacy? What is legacy for you? And when you have to deal with it?
Yeah, thanks a lot for the invitation. First, I'm happy to be here. Yeah, legacy is an interesting topic. For me, legacy software is software that is no longer fulfilling current requirements towards the software, A, or B, that is not adaptable, not scalable, or not reliably operable anymore, because then it causes major problems. It A, does not serve the business purpose, or B, cannot serve the business purpose because it's not really operable. And so I would qualify this as a legacy software.
Yeah, there are two interesting answers that they said, because it's just a place of code or just a product that it's not scalable. For example, it doesn't provide its value. And what is really important as well, just to provide next business value. Do you have a situation, for example, that you are doing modernization but without just providing business value? Or is it like it's always starting with business value, but then you decide what has to be changed just to not change everything, just to provide business value? How does it look for you? How do you plan such a modernization if they require?
Yeah. So I think ultimately software is there for a purpose, right? It's not there just to be. So I think there must always be a connection to business value. And even if it's not maintainable anymore, right? This might be okay if the software does not to be touched really at all anymore, then it's okay. But if we need to change it because of business reasons or whatever, and this can also be regulatory or whatever, I'm in the finance industry now, then it's also a business purpose for me. And so it should always start with a business purpose. And maybe it's also helpful to differentiate. There's maybe two levels of legacy or technical debt, maybe to differentiate. One thing is if in the code of one service you have maybe not optimal test coverage, the program is not optimally written, then I would classify this as a micro architecture legacy. And if it's more about fundamental things like you're storing data in the wrong place, or the flow of data is unclear, or domains are designed in an unhelpful way, then it's a macro level, and both can exist. And you ask about how I would plan to deal with that. I think the most important part is, in any planning, you should always strive to avoid getting to a place where it becomes a problem, like a bigger problem. So I think the worst case is if you neglect some software components over a time, it gets more and more outdated, it becomes more and more legacy. And at some point, it's unmaintainable, really. And you have to do a kind of big bang migration where you create a new set of services, maybe to replace something old. I think that's the worst case that you can have, because this will mean you will spend quite some time just replacing what you have, potentially not even adding business value, and you're really stuck for some time without much happening. And so what I would always strive for is to not get there in the first place if possible. And I think the most promising way to do this is if you constantly invest also in your architecture, in the software to modernize it and so on. And it really needs to be systematic, right? Because if you say, hey, we want to spend something every now and then, it will always lose, because there's always things that are urgent that need to be delivered, new features and so on, right? This is ironically also sometimes how legacy is created in the first place. So this does not work. But if you from the beginning say something like, hey, every sprint, if you work on sprints, we reserve like X amount of our time for investing in cleaning up tech debt and preventing software from becoming legacy, I think this is a very practical way to avoid getting in that bad situation where you have to do a big migration project and do not get much other things done during that time.
Yeah, it's very important. It's like a Boy Scout rule, just to make a place better for the future, so you don't face those problems. But there is such a problem like, okay, you need to invest time just to keep it clean. It's quite sure. It's quite sure for developers, especially for technical people. But sometimes it's not quite obvious for a business side. It's like, okay, you have some purpose. You need to bring a feature. Then you spend time on tests, on the rewriting, and so on while you are doing it. So how is it? How do you justify or would like to justify the business side the reason to make such changes? Partially, you already said that, but how to convince a business side that it's really important?
Yeah, you're right. I kind of said it already, right? Software always serves a purpose, and I think being legacy or not is determined by something that we could call the fitness for business purpose metric. And if this is not given, this could also include like scalability, extendability, operability affected, as we said, then this affects our business, right? This affects customers. Either the software does not do what it should do, or it's not available, or it's too slow, or whatever, and it can hamper our business. And of course, it's not always easy to quantify. And also, for example, maintainability is something that is hard to quantify and to explain to, let's say, product managers. But in the end, I think we as engineering need to make this effort to help product managers understand why it's important and what's the value and the benefit and what's the cost of not doing it. Because ultimately, it's also them who should decide, I would say. It's not like, apart from the rule that I mentioned, if we say we set aside every time like 15% of our capacity to do this, then it's a different story. But if there is something like a bigger chunk of work and it needs to be prioritized, then it should also be prioritized by a product manager amongst all the other features and whatever that they have in the backlog, based on also this business value or the missing business value is not done. And so I think it's super important to have this conversation between engineering and product people, and that we as engineering help product people to understand it and tend to make a informed decision, because also not every legacy needs to be tackled or needs to be tackled immediately, right? That's also something that is important. For example, if they know that this service will need to be replaced either way in, I don't know, half a year, and we can run it for so long, then there's no point in doing it now, right?
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned about one important thing, and those are metrics. And the very first question, do you use any metrics for, just basically speaking, for legacy measuring or legacy modernization justification to just convince a business side? Do you find any quite practical measures to convince those people, or you try to rather make them just just explain even on a level like, you can easily understand that it's something that we need to just modernize, but it's like you need to trust us. How do you just sit between trust us and just pure data? How do you just find it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, ideally, we should always strive for providing as much data as we can. That always depends on the kind of legacy that we have or on technical debt. Right. If it's about the service is slow, and so we can measure user interaction times that are unacceptably long, then it's easy. If it's about operability and we have downsides and constant incidents, then it's easy. Sometimes it's also about, like I said, on this macro level, I think we might have a wrong data architecture, and we might maybe, it's also incentivized a lot by this microservice architecture paradigm. Maybe we replicate data too often. And then it could be a measure to look at costs. What does it cost us to have this data replicated multiple times? This is another one that comes to my mind. And then, of course, always things like what typically also product managers are interested in is like velocity, like the speed with which we can change and extend and adapt a service. And if we can show by data that this is for a given service much longer than for others who are in a better technical shape, then they can also understand and see that. So there is tons of, but it really depends on the use case, I would say. But we should always strive for getting as many of them on in as much quantifiable clarity on this. Yeah.
Yeah, and speaking about velocity, it's like this is a very, very common situation. I believe every technical guy experiences it, I believe. So it's like, okay, I know that I have something to modernize. I know that it will just take some time, but my estimation was wrong. What then? It's like, I need to just fix next thing, next thing, next thing. And just it appears, for example, that I need a month. How do you handle such situations? Because I believe they are just, we are not sure about everything in that project. It's like, we try to quantify it as we can. But there are, of course, just parts of code that, or we don't know how they are just structured, constructed, and so on. Or it's like just a mistake. And how to convince the business side that it's still just needed, that we need to fix it, and why it just takes so long.
Is it? Yeah, I mean, what you're describing is essentially, right, the fundamentals of agility. So the inability to really understand and plan everything up front in depth. This can happen, and I think also product managers need to be able to understand that, and like business as well in their collaboration with tech. This can happen with feature development as well as with any modernization of something, right? So the question is always, of course, you need to be transparent about this, because I would say ideally, or in the normal, not ideally, in the normal average case, the cost estimation, a very rough one, should have been taken into account while prioritizing doing this or not versus, for example, developing other business features. And if out of a sudden this effort changes, this calculation can look different, right? So it could even mean that, hey, if it becomes so expensive, then it's not worth it. And so you need to be really transparent about this with product managers so that they can jointly also reevaluate whether we continue or not. That's the one thing that you can and need to do. And then I would say it's also totally fair. If then in the light of new information, they say, hey, wow, then it's not worth modernizing this stuff. Then let's, if we can by some means drop it and have something else, maybe this is the better way. And what you should also do on the other hand, on the engineering, like what's with any feature development, is trying to understand in a retrospective, for example, what we missed when we looked at it in the first place, what additional complexity is there, and so on. And it could even turn out that it becomes more important, because if it's a critical central piece of software that we are running and we just discover while modernizing that it's more complicated and more legacy than we thought, this can even increase like the urgency, right? If, for example, if we foreseeably reach a scalability limit, but the business needs to grow, we need this modernization in order to get there. And then we figure out it takes us longer. Then it can also mean that we need to even more focus on resolving these technical debt issues that we have.
Yeah, and you just said about just this cost of estimation. Do you have any tips or how just to try to estimate how much work we need to do? It's like, and what work should be done in a short period of time? Because we can agree that there are always parts of code that they don't need to be changed, but it's sometimes really hard to differentiate. So do you spend, for example, much time on just investigating the code or in the product and try to understand what has to be changed, and how much time you just spend on this, how much cost is there is like, okay, we believe, for example, that there are experienced guys that know what they are changing and they can easily estimate, or it's like we need to figure it out, then plan and then estimate how much time it will take and then decide what really needs to be changed. How do you approach such a problem?
Yeah, I mean, now you're mentioning the problem of estimation, right? I, in general, would say I'm always a fan of not overdoing estimations and rather start with good enough estimations, like, for example, t-shirt size estimations of effort, especially when building new stuff. But what is, I think, important to consider when we talk about legacy software is how much have we really understood the problem that we have in there, right? If, for example, we have people who are very familiar with the software and they can easily change it, they know what to do, they know where the shortcomings are, they know how to fix them, then they can certainly relatively reliably estimate also what's the approximate cost of that. If, in contrast, we lack people who even understand that piece of software, then it's a different story, right? Then we really need to make sure that we first of all also understand how much of a problem do we have, and do we have ideas to fix that, and so on. And then I think then it's really depending on the criticality of the service and the easiness of, in the worst case, replacing it with something else, we should invest more into really having a good picture of what we are dealing with, I would say. And then it can be valid to invest also more time to really see, like, hey, what are all the pitfalls? What are all the things that we need to change? How much of effort might this be approximately? Yeah, so it really depends on that, I would say.
Okay, I see. And what I would say is like just taking small steps. Sometimes it's like we are changing small parts and then we decide what's next, and just to try to make a great observability here and then decide, because we need to remember that business is always changing. It's like, okay, we can modernize something for the next, let's say, months, but then it may something change, on market changes, business changes, and then we need to jump to just another features or modernizations. Do you ever faced a situation like there was not an option to make such small steps and you need to make just a big migration, you name it, at the beginning of our conversation? Have you ever faced such situation that you need to change a really great part of a product, of service, or basically just write it from scratch, or just create something completely new?
Yes, I did. I mean, in the beginning of my career, I was also working in a team in a consultancy, Capgemini, and we had an internal... So their business is doing software projects for clients. And so the controlling of these projects is essential because it determines the business success of the company. And my team was maintaining a reporting around that, but it was rather on relational databases and so on. And we knew it needed to be replaced with a totally new solution with a proper data warehouse and so on. And so there it was clear that this needed to be a big project. It's not like you could iteratively do this. And we approached it like this. And I must also reflect at that time, there were multiple challenges, and ultimately also this project was canceled, and it kind of essentially failed. And it was in the end also canceled because as we tried to do it, like we wanted to come up with the perfect solution and new functionality as well, because it should not be just a replacement, but also additional value and so on. It took us so long to just design that. And also then there are a lot of things that you have about data issues, data source issues and so on. That finally, at some point, the top management decided to stop that and to not do it. And in retrospect, I would also say it would have been smarter to start small, iteratively, and prove the value. This is a little bit coming back to what we discussed earlier on. What happens if your initial estimation suddenly exceeds, like the current estimation exceeds the initial estimation? Because then it can really put the value for money in a different light and lead to different prioritization decisions. And that would have been better. So that's also what I meant, right? It's the worst case if you really have to replace everything. Sometimes it's unavoidable, but if you can avoid it. and rather go iteratively.
Yeah, yeah. And I do believe that sometimes even changing something in, like, just say big migration is like, it's still like migrating parts just step by step. It's not, even when we're writing something new, it's not like just written everything immediately. It's like we're just delivering the next parts usually. So in the fact, we're just returning to just this steps solution. So yeah, I believe that sometimes this big migration is like, yeah, we should avoid it, but in the end, it's like still we need to just figure it out how to iteratively bring value back. And we talk a lot about estimations. I think they're just estimations as a result of a process to determining how much time modernization will take. Are there any factors, any situations that you see as blocking to determine how modernization, how much time it would take? It's like, for example, complexity of a project, experience, and so on. What do you find as the most blocking part, or what part you just found as the most blocking part?
Yeah, I would refer back to what I said before. I think the most challenging factor in terms of the accurateness of any estimation is if you are lacking the knowledge about the software at hand, because people left or whatever. And also typically engineers are a little bit hesitant to touch software that they don't know or have not written themselves. And if that software is in a bad shape, then this amplifies that problem. So I would say this is the number one risk factor when it comes to not just, estimation is always also about just assessing how big the problem is that we have, right, with that software. So I would say that's the number one factor.
So we should just keep the most experienced guys in the team, and everything is still good, I believe. Yeah, exactly. It's like experience implemented in the solution. So let's keep it clean. Yeah, exactly. And speaking about people, how do you find teaching people about legacy? It's like, of course, you can agree that whether it's an experienced guy, he just even subjectively understand the legacy and how to deal with it. But of course, there are people with less experience, juniors, regulars, and they need to deal with it with the legacy as well. Do you try to somehow teach them about legacy, or try to explain why we are changing such parts in a specific way? Or is like just, let's say, an architect says what has to be done and they are just doing it. How do you find teaching new generations about legacy?
Yeah, you're touching two things now, right? One is the knowledge of people to modernize an application, and the other is like the providing the context and the purpose of why they should do it. When it comes to the first part, the knowledge, I think this is not much different from also writing new business features, right? If you neglect the knowledge factor there, then you're already building legacy software from scratch. So I think this needs to be there. Of course, it's more complicated, admittedly, to dive into an existing complex and not modern software than writing something from scratch. I think that's fair to say as well. So yes, you should rather have experienced people, but as always, it should also be a healthy mix. So it's also good to have some people who can learn on the way. And this is also a good transition, I think, to the second part of your question, like how do you convince people of it? As always, I think you should be super clear about the purpose. And there's sometimes this perception that legacy software is unsexy. And by the way, I also don't like the term. It's the same like tech debt, right? For me, it sounds like, oh, this is good and this is shiny and new and this is bad and that we want to avoid. And I think this is not helpful. And I rather like to think about it in this continuum, like fitness for the purpose that we have, for example, as a continuum. To make it a kind of natural aspect of an engineering work that we always have to invest into the fitness of the application or the application landscape that we have, because the moment we've built something brand new, it starts to age, right? But so with this little detour, coming back to the motivation topic, what I found is that surprisingly often, especially if you take care of how you frame it, people are not so reluctant to work in modernization projects. I can name one example from my time at Idealo, the European price comparison website. I was responsible there for integrating hundreds of thousands of online merchants into the price comparison. And there was a web service through which these online stores could send their catalogs with prices to Idealo. And that was also really a legacy thing. But what we did, we formed one team, and it was also mainly from people who voluntarily did it and wanted to do it, to invest time in just modernizing it. And what they did, they removed half of the code base, of the code lines. They dramatically drove up the test coverage and so on, and they made it much more maintainable and also scalable. And this all while keeping the existing functionality. And interestingly, they took a lot of pride of having done that. And I think that's a very good also ethos for an engineer to be proud of modernizing stuff, because as I said, this is something that happens all the time. No matter what you build today, in a year, you will look at this very critically. And so if you can do that, I think that's also something that people can be proud of, especially, of course, and this is now back to the purpose, you need to explain why it's important. But this is back to the beginning of our discussion, right? If you don't have a good reason, you shouldn't do it. And if you have a good reason, then of course, also tell it everyone so that engineers understand the purpose and why they should be doing this.
Yeah, the reason is the most important part, I think. Many people, I believe, just they see code as like a piece of art. I would like to see it like a piece of art, but sometimes it's not like modernizing something is not worth it. It's like it has to bring value for a client for sure. So you need just to change what is required to be changed. And some people just don't understand. It's like, oh no, we need to just rewrite this service and this because it's badly written. Okay, but it's working. It's not like we need to change it. It's covered by tests and so on. And it's like, yeah, I've seen that this transition from just juniors to let's say senior people is like, they need to just understand. It's not like tech is, of course, important, but what is more important is just this business reason. And you've said one interesting thing that people are reluctant to just jumping into basically legacy. This is something I've seen as well. But what I've seen is quite interesting. It's like many people with just say less or regular experience like to just jump to startups, right? New products from the scratch. And there are just experienced people that really like legacy. Why do you see maybe you've experienced something similar, and do you have an opinion for that? Why it may just look like this?
Yeah. First, I didn't want to imply that it's often that people are reluctant. I think more often, surprisingly often, I found that people are really also eager to clean stuff up. And also, I think engineers have it a little bit in their genes that they really want stuff to be clean and tidy and so on. And In most of the cases, it's not the case because there's pressure to deliver and jump to the next stuff, right? But if they could, I think they would invest quite a time into perfecting any piece of software. So I think there is generally the ability. Of course, there's exceptions, right? To your question, that's an interesting challenge. I don't know. I mean, I can just speculate. I would guess that, of course, it's easier, I think, to write something from scratch. And it also allows you to use just the latest, most hip technology because you're free to choose, while existing software has a higher probability, of course, to be written in some frameworks that are not super up-to-date or are not the hottest stuff out there today. That's one thing. And then also, I believe it's probably requires, it's a little bit more challenging to look into something that is existing and that is complex and that is big, rather than if you can shape something from the ground up, because you can form it after your mental model. You don't have to understand it, and you don't have to analyze it, and so on. So I guess this might be a reason of the effect that you described.
Yeah, but I'm one of those person that started with a legacy. My career started with a legacy, quite a big legacy. And what I found also that this is the place for learning. It's like if I just have started with just a startup, it's like I don't know what decisions to make. I don't know what is right, what approach is right, what strategy, and so on. And after legacy modernization, it's like, oh, okay, I see this is really bad and I need to live with it. How to avoid it in the future, in the next projects? And yeah, but, and I believe that legacy is the place that you can learn a lot. And from the perspective of this experienced guys, because I've heard once that one guy with, I don't know, it was like 25 years of experience, commercial experience, and he said he loves legacy. Why he loves it? Because it's like startups are very fast-paced projects, and in legacy, it's like you can just rest, you can just determine what is wrong, what needs to be refactored to just bring this value. But it's like he's not very, very specifically limited by time, and so he can just do it, very good, and so on. And that was just amazing when I thought about that. And I believe that sometimes legacy is not the worst project that you can work in. It's like many people think, oh my God, I want to just work in startup. It's like it's the best project I can be in. But after many years, I think no, legacy are just the best project, I believe. Maybe it's also your case. What I want to ask you is like you want to just work with legacy. Do you find it more? Do you more enjoying? Or startups? What do you think?
I don't code much. Not on a production level anymore. That's maybe one important thing. On what you said, I think it makes a lot of sense. And also, if we think about it, everything that we produce all the time quickly becomes legacy. So there's much more legacy in the world than you can have like from scratch on a greenfield new stuff to build. I typically deal with and also like that architectures that have grown already and that have a certain complexity. I like that because, as I said, that also implies there are new risks of legacy. Like if you store your data wrong, if your data flows are inefficient, if domains are not clear and so on. So I like that. And these more complex environments of services, they, of course, quite naturally and inevitably typically also have legacy parts in them because they are growing over time. And it's interesting challenges, I would say. I like these environments because I find them quite enjoyable and intellectually challenging.
Yeah, but the problems that you have to solve now just basically because of complexity are the most challenging parts than in startups, I believe. I think that we can just jump to some kinds of summary, and I would like to ask you, is there any just one tip that you can give technical people dealing with legacy? Well, what do you find the most important, just the one most important thing that people should consider when approaching legacy?
Yeah, can I make it two?
Okay, of course.
Okay, good. I think it's two things. One is, like I mentioned, the mindset. Right, there's not like this black and white, this is shiny and new and cool, and this one is outdated and legacy, but there is really a continuum. And I think having this in mind is a good start. And then this leads to my second recommendation. You need to be aware that you need to invest into any software that is in production to at least slow down the rate with which it becomes legacy, or ideally even prevent it from, in order to avoid these big bang migrations that you might have to do in the worst case. So really constantly investing into what you have would be my second recommendation. And yeah, I think with that, you could come quite some way.
And Boy Scout rule at the end, just to summarize. I think, thank you, Jan. I really enjoyed our conversation about legacy today.
Me too. Thank you.
And seeing for the future, maybe we'll speak about something else as well. Thank you very, very much. And see you.
What a pleasure. Thank you, Matt. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.